Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on Laetrile when we come back. You know, a $10 pizza has a 38% tax on it, and a Budweiser six-pack, 43% of the price you pay is taxed. And a fifth of Jack Daniels is taxed 72%. 18% is for the product, 72% is for tax. Now, governments tax us all, and they tax anything that wiggles, moves, or squirms. But what is it that government does to produce, to prepare, or to deliver these goods and services for which the government gets paid 38% for a pizza, 43% for a beer, and 72% for a drink? Does the guy in the pizza parlor make a 38% profit on that pizza that they have to buy the ingredients to make, and then prepare it, cook it, serve it, and pay rent on the store that you sit in to eat it? Does he make 38%? Now, why does the government get paid more in tax than we, the people, who actually produce, prepare, and deliver the goods and services that we all produce, sell, and buy? Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, call us here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. And be sure to ask for my free general law CD package at the same time. It's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative. Best of all, it's free. Now, our Tax and Status School is available on compact disc for adult home education. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for your free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. All right, we've been talking about Laetrile. Now, Laetrile is illegal here in the United States. To underscore that fact, my wife, just yesterday, went to Springfield. And I said, well, you're at it, because we haven't had any Laetrile here for a long time, we pretty much rely upon our Laetrile intake here in our family from the foods that we eat. We have a cookbook upstairs. It's called the Cyanide Cookbook, and it's a cookbook put out by some lady that evidently had cancer and knew something about Laetrile. And so she put a little cookbook together that has all of these foods that have B17 in them. And so, of course, we try to get as much as we can. I have a wild blackberry patch down here in the valley, and every year I go down there and I collect, you know, 5 or 6 or 8 gallons of blackberries and then freeze them, put them in the freezer. And then we take the blackberries out and we put them in the blender and we beat them up real good to break open the seeds, because the Laetrile is in those little tiny seeds. And those seeds, if they're not broken or not chewed finely, will just pass through your body and you miss the vitamin. But if you break them up in the blender, then you get the full value of the B17 out of those seeds. And so it's something that we grow here. It's something that we have in Missouri. It's a wild blackberry. Cassavas actually have the most. So if you're in an area where you can get cassavas, or if you've got a store that sells them, or you can buy them there, that's number two. And then peaches and apricots. Peaches and apricots. Remember, the Hunses count their wealth by their apricot trees. They live to be 100. They never have cancer. And they eat lots of apricots. And they eat the apricot seeds. Now, you take the pit, you know, that hard thing in the middle of the apricot that we throw away? You take a hammer and you break it open, just like you would a walnut. You're going to break the shell. And inside, there's a nut meat inside that pit. And it's just bitter as all get out. I just swallow them whole myself. I'm not tough like a lot of people, but you just swallow those whole, and that's about the third best, you know. Cassava's number one. Blackberries are very high. Apricot and prunes, you know, if you got plums, you can take the pits out of plums. But you got to eat more of them because apricots and peaches, you know, have bigger pits than plums. And so peach pits are a little better because, you know, when you break a peach open, it's big. Now, she went to town and she went into, we have two big health food stores in Springfield, went into both of them and asked for Letro, couldn't get it. It's outlawed. Okay. See, there was a time when it was outlawed, and then it was reestablished, and now it's been outlawed again. Now, the forces that want to outlaw this B-17 over here are the American Cancer Society, the Food and Drug Administration, and the American Medical Association, and they keep lobbying in Washington until they get what they want. So oftentimes what happens is there'll be a bill put in front of Congress, and then the word gets out, and then there's a big backlash, and millions of people write letters, and then the Congress won't pass it. And then they come back 5 years later, and they do the same thing, and then they come back 5 years later, until they finally get it passed. Now, once it gets passed, you can't get millions of people on the bandwagon to write letters to repeal it. It's 10 times harder to get something repealed than it is to prevent it from getting passed. And the AMA has been for many years trying to get all vitamin and mineral supplements regulated so that you have to have a doctor's prescription to get it. See, the doctors aren't dumb. They know that with the size and scope of their power base, the AMA, the Cancer Society, the National Health Institute, the CDC, and so on, all the medical establishment of America is powerful. And if they can get that passed, they then will have a monopoly on all of the health food industry vitamins and minerals. And won't that just be real special? And then we have a double Achilles heel. See, our farmers have been over farming. They never let the land rest. They've depleted the soil so that when you plant a cassava, it is not going to produce as much B-17 on soil that's been depleted as it would if the soil were virgin soil or if it had been maintained. So I delivered this report to you not too long ago. Oftentimes you'll go into a store and you'll buy cabbage and spinach. You know, you go over to the food section, you know, the fruit and vegetable section of the supermarket, and you're buying broccoli fresh from California, and you're buying spinach, you know, and so on. But the problem that you have is that spinach and broccoli has been grown on land that's been so depleted with chemical fertilizers and sprays and dyes and additives over the last 100 years that it has 50, 60, 70, 80% less of the nutrients in it than it normally has if it is grown on good soil. And then there's another factor. They use hybridized or GMO seed, which produces even less, as I've reported from Adolf Steinbrom to you time and time again. So there's our problem. We have bad food coming off of our farms. And then we have the Food and Drug Administration and the AMA and the medical establishment working together to keep this away from us. So now, if you wanted to buy straight B-17 in America, you can't get it. So if any of you out there know where we can get some, call me and let me know, would you? I mean, there's sources for it. I mean, if I went to Mexico, I could buy it across the counter. If I went to Switzerland, I could probably buy it across the counter. So maybe up in Canada, maybe you can buy it there. I don't know. Maybe in Australia, you can buy it there. Let me know where we can get it, and then people, when they call me, I can say, well, you can get it in Switzerland, you can get it in Tijuana, you can get it in Mexico City, you can get it in Buenos Aires or wherever. And there might even be some clandestine guy operating here in the United States, but if he gets caught, he's going to go to prison for selling this B-17, which is in the pharmacopoeia as being harmless. And I've demonstrated from numerous case histories out of this book, people have been taking this stuff in mega doses, 200 times more. I mean, it doesn't make any difference how much of this you take. You cannot overdose on it. That's a lie. If they tell you you're going to overdose on it, it's a lie. All right, so now here's something that's safe and effective, cures cancer, and you can't get it in the United States. And so people write me letters and emails, and they say, why, Mr. Gordon, why would the government want to do that? Because they want to kill you, because they want to make a profit off of you, dummy. Now, there's a program in place called Global 2000. Maybe you haven't heard this before, but the objective here between now and 2050 is to reduce the Earth's population by 90%. 90%. You got 6.5 billion people here. And we're going to reduce it by 90%. Stick 6,500. My little machine here won't handle billions. 6,500. Now, let's just take times 0.10. That's how many is going to be left. About 650 million people should be left alive when this process is completed. Now, that isn't just us here in America. They're after you Chinese in China. They're after you South Koreans in Korea. They're after you Japanese in Japan. So, if you know, wherever you're listening to me around the world, they're after you, too. I mean, these people have an agenda. They have an agenda. They think that there's too many useless eaters in the world, that there's too many Indians, too many Chinese, too many Japanese. And they need to reduce that population so that we don't deplete the Earth of its natural resources. Now, that's the agenda. And then, of course, there's the profit motive on the part of the doctors and the AMA. I mean, hey, listen, this is big business. And they're making a lot of money. They live very well off of the misery and the suffering of the masses of people that come down with cancer. Farmers are not producing foodless food because they have some malign conspiratorial intent with the doctors and politicians to kill you. They just do it because that's the best way for us to make money. They get paid for tons of spinach out of the field. They don't get paid for the amount of B17 or the amount of nutrients that are in the spinach. And they get more tons by putting in hybrid spinach, and by using chemicals and pesticides, they get more tons off the field, they make more profit off of it, and you don't care, and you don't make a differentiation, and so therefore, what's the problem? And so many people, about 12% of our population, go to the health food stores and buy vitamin and mineral supplements. That's bad for the medical industry. Think about it. 37 million people a year, on average, go to the hospital. George Gordon is one of that 12% that is very concerned about his health. And so I'm down picking blackberries in the heat of July so that I can get B17, so that I won't get cancer, so that I won't go to the hospital. If everybody in America did that, it would wipe out the cancer industry. And it would cost the economy $500 billion, and it would put all the oncologists and all of the cancer clinics and all the rest of them out of business. They'd have to go out and go to work like all the rest of us, and they don't want to do that. They don't want to do that. That's the bottom line. Now, if everybody in America did what I did, it would cause so much disruption in the economy and in the society, they just absolutely loathe the thought of it. So they want to regulate and control it. They want to get control of the B17. If everybody in America went to the doctor as often as I do, they might have 10 doctor's visits in a lifetime. In 70 years, they might have gone to a medical doctor 10 times, maybe 7 times, about once every 10 years. And then the doctors would be out of business. In 1900, that's about how often people went to a doctor or went to a hospital. We didn't have any medical establishment. We didn't have a hospital down the street. And the reason you have hospitals with trauma centers that are running over with doctors and nurses is because you got a need for them. So the sicker people become, the more need they have for doctors and hospitals. And so if you want to sell what you're selling, which is treatment for sickness, you want more sickness. Not that you're wishing anybody to get sick, but you know, that's the way I make my living. So as a plumber, I hope that you plug up your drain. As a plumber, I hope you put a lot of caustic soda down your pipe so that they rust through, so you have to call me to come out and fix them. You know, people that don't have leaky pipes don't need me. I like people with leaky pipes. I like people who are flushing toilet paper down their toilets and into their septic systems and plugging them up, because that's where I get my money, off of people with leaky pipes and plugged up drains. I mean, come on, let's be intelligent. Mechanics like people with automobiles that have broken down, transmissions that have blown up, engines that have got a piston through the side of the block. Mechanics love people like that. That's where their bread and butter comes from. People that change their oil every 2,000 miles. People that take good care of their cars and service them regularly. God, we hate them. There's no money to be made off of them. Mechanics hate people that take care of their automobiles. Plumbers hate people that take care of their pipes, and the doctors hate people that take care of their bodies. I mean, it's just economics. As old Bill Clinton said, it's the economy, stupid. All right, now let's go to some case histories. There's 64 here in the book, and I'm not going to read them all to you. The book is titled Laetrile. It's spelled L-A-E-T-R-I-L-E. In case you're like me, you know you can't spell. L-A-E-T-R-I-L-E. Case histories. Laetrile case history is written by Dr. Richardson. The guy's name is John A. Richardson, and you can get a copy of this now from BraveNewBookstore.com. Remember the good boys down there in Austin, Texas, BraveNewBookstore.com. They specialize in the kind of books and literature that you can't get ordinarily from the ordinary mainstream press. That's a valuable service. I mean, there are some guys around the country that do that. They're the only ones that I can tell you about off the top of my head. If you know of any other bookstores that specialize in getting books that are banned, that are unpopular, that are controversial, anti-establishment, they're the kind of thing that you're not supposed to read because they're politically incorrect, call me and tell me where that bookstore is located. And if you've got one of those bookstores, call me. And let me tell listeners where they can go get the information. Brave New Bookstore, by the way, is in Austin, Texas. They're at 1904 Guadalupe Street, Austin, Texas. Now, Brave New Bookstore's phone number is 512-480-2503. Again, that's 512-480-2503. Now, Richardson puts in about 64 case histories. Now, there's two of them here that I'm going to hit on and show you the contrasting differences here between going to orthodox medicine first and impairing your immune system, and then going to Laetrile or alternative medicine first, and then if everything else fails, then lay down and die. There's two really contrasting cases here. It's on page 254. He has an appendix where he followed up and found out, after I treated this guy, how long did he live after the fact? And most of these people, if they were treated without having chemotherapy, radiation, or surgery, they lived 15, 20 years. If they had chemotherapy, or if they had radiation or surgery first, they lived about 1 or 2 years and then died. But if they went on the metabolic program coming out of the get-go, relying upon their immune system and strengthening their immune system, they lived much longer. Now, in case number R168MS, the cancer of sigmoid colon and metastasis. Now, remember this word metastasis means that it is spreading through your body. Now, that's fatal. When the cancer is moving around through your body and settling in other organs, the medical establishment just says, you're terminal, that's the end of the argument. That is not terminal. It's not the end of the argument when you're dealing with the whole body and you're dealing with vitamins and minerals. It doesn't make any difference where in your body the cancer is located, the Laetrile. The B17 will kill it and dispose of it. Whether it's in your lungs, your colon, your brain, that's the purpose of it. It's designed by God himself. And of course, most people, they don't like God and they don't like the way he heals people, but then, you know, that's another story for another day. So that's what the metastasis is. I wish that these guys would use words that we plumbers can understand, because then we could grasp this. You know, this book is written for medical doctors. And so if you're one of those medical doctors, the next time you write a book, instead of trying to show all of your friends and all of your peers how smart you are because you can use big words, why don't you write it for those of us that are actually going to buy it? Dr. Richardson, when you wrote this book, doctors are not going to buy this book, doc. The people that are going to buy this book are the people that have cancer, and they're going to buy it out of a health food store in desperation because we need help. We'd like you to talk to us in straight language that we can understand. Metastasis. It means it's spreading through your body. So here's a guy. It's a woman. She has incomplete surgery in June of 75, began metabolic therapy in July of 75. We do not know if this was continued after 1977, Per our internet search, the patient's life was extended 14 years. She died at age 79 in April of 1989. Cause of death is unknown to us. Now remember, you're only entitled to live to be 70 years old. So, I mean, when you get to be 70 years old and then you come down with cancer, hell, you're on borrowed time to start with, partner. But anyway, this woman here, as I recall, she was 14 from 79. She was 66 or 7 years old to start with. All right, now, the second case is S111E. This woman has rectum cancer with lung metastasis. That's spreading of cancer through her body from her lung cancer. Incomplete surgery in May of 75. What incomplete surgery means is that they opened them up, looked inside and said, oh my God, closed them back up and said, you're going to die. Both of these women got the same report from their doctors. They cut them open, looked inside and said, oh my God, closed them back up, and that's the end of the argument. All right, now the incomplete surgery, May of 75, given 1 month to live, began metabolic therapy in August of 1975. We don't know if this was continued after 1976, but as per our internet search, the patient's life was extended for 2 years. She died at age 66 in August of 1977. Cause of death is unknown to us. All right, now I'm going to go back here to page 148, where this first one is mentioned. Now remember, this is S111E, case number one, S111E. This is the failure case. Here's what this lady did. This woman was admitted to State University Hospital in Upstate Medical Center, Syracuse, New York, on May 29, 1975. Now, the patient is 64 years old. She's a woman who was admitted to the hospital with an admission diagnosis of carcinoma, or cancer of the rectum, established on rectosigmoidoscopy with biopsy. And the patient's current symptoms were those of a presence of local mass associated with symptoms of bleeding and tenesmus. Whatever T-E-N-E-S-M-U-S is, I don't know what that is, along with associated symptoms of early partial distal large bowel obstruction. Examination showed the patient to be an intact, young-appearing 64-year-old woman whose physical findings were confirmed to examination of the rectum, where digital examination disclosed the presence of a mass beginning 7 centimeters to the anal verge, about 2.75 inches past the anal opening. The mass appeared fixed and was attached to the posterior and lateral parietes. Barium enema demonstrated the presence of carcinoma of the rectum along with diverticulosis. I think diverticulosis is hemorrhoids. Chest x-ray showed evidence of metastasis to both lung fields. Alkaline phosphatase was normal. All right, now she's got lung cancer in both lungs. She's got anal cancer, colorectal cancer, to call them. I mean, this woman is done in. Now, she goes ahead and she has surgery. The doctor just quoted as saying that before surgery, the patient had cancer in both lungs and her rectum, and after rectal surgery, she still had cancer of the rectum because they could not remove all of it. Okay, so she goes the cancer surgery route. A little later on, she takes in some chemotherapy, and then pretty soon she hears about Laetrile, and then she goes all the way from New York out to California. Now, remember, the doctor said, well, you got about a month to live. Now, probably it's more like 6 months to a year, because remember, the average is 9 months. Average. Once you have metastasized cancer, it's spreading from one area of your body to another, you've got 6 to 9 months to live, and there's nothing they can do with chemotherapy, radiation, or surgery. You are toast. Now, that's what happened to my wife in 1978 when the doctor said, look, you know, your cancer has metastasized. It's in your liver. It's in your female organs. It's in your colon. You mean, lady, you've got cancer all over your body. But if you take this chemotherapy, we can probably keep you alive for 18 months. Now, you're going to die in 6 months, but you might keep you alive for 18. My wife looked at it and said, look, If you take $100,000, which is what this doctor said he wanted in 1978, take $100,000, divide that by 18 months. It's going to cost her $5,500 a month to go through this program, and she's going to die in 18 months instead of 6. So she says, well, one more year isn't all that important. I mean, you know, if I'm going to die in 6 months, 12 months, or 18 months, I'm short-lived. And she was in her 30s at the time. So she said, well, my family could probably use the $100,000 more than I can. So why should I be a pig and take the $100,000 and spend it on me, and then you can put me in the grave in 18 months when you can put me in the grave in 6 months and keep the $100,000? I liked her decision. I said, by God, now that makes all the sense in the world to me. Instead of taking the $100,000 away from your family and spending it on the doctors and then increasing and subsidizing his lifestyle, you go ahead and die in 6 months instead of 18 months. And you'll save yourself a lot of pain, anguish, and suffering. My sister-in-law went the chemotherapy route, and it took her about 18 months to die. And it was just god-awful pain, suffering, and anguish for 18 months. Pain, anguish, and suffering. So, you know, the sooner you can get it over with, you know, the better. It's kind of like getting whipped by the old man. Remember when you were a kid and the old man's going to whip you? But he didn't whip you right away. You had to go in first of all and wash up and get ready for dinner, and you had to sit through dinner, and then after dinner, you know, you sat there again. You know it's coming. You got to get it. And you sit here and stew in your juices, you know. God, I hated that. And sometimes he wouldn't do it until the next day. And you had to sit there and worry about it. It's like being on death row, you know. All right, well, that's the story of the failure lady. Now, there's a lady here who succeeded. Remember the first one? It's R168MS. Now, she lived for 14 years. Now, the case history on her is on page 153, so let's flip over to 153 here. Let's see, back up here at page 153. Here's R168MS, cancer of the sigmoid colon with lymph node metastasis and extension into mesenteric fat. The 66-year-old woman sought medical attention in June of 1975 because of a change in bowel habits. During the previous 4 months, her stools had become reduced in circumference. She'd also experienced lower abdominal cramping and some nausea, but no vomiting. There is a strong history of cancer in her family. One sister had cancer of the abdomen, one had leukemia, one had cancer of the brain, and one had lymphosarcoma. I'm going to pause right there. Oftentimes people will say to me, well, see, it's genetic. Horse pucky. If it was genetic, God designed it that way. It's not true. It may be true that the cancer affects the genes after the fact, but you were not genetically predisposed to cancer. Nobody's been able to figure out that the people who are getting cancer in families, these people all eat the same things. I mean, come on. When I was a kid growing up, my grandmother, sweet lady that she was, never cooked without pig. And if she did, it's a mystery to me, and I missed it. I missed that dinner. My grandmother had ham in the beans. My grandmother baked pies with lard. My grandmother put pig in everything she cooked. And no Gordon lived to be 70 years old. The oldest living Gordon was 61. We all die from heart attacks. Heart attacks. My Uncle Al at age 46, Uncle Ed at age 42, my granddad at age 61, my great-grandfather at age 48. I mean, come on. And they all ate the same way. We all are pig-eaten. Well, we weren't Christians, but we were all pig eaters. Now, people that eat high quantities of fat die from cardiovascular disease. We Gordons don't have a genetic predisposition now to heart attack any more than anybody else. It's the way we eat. It's the crap we're sticking in our mouths. That's what kills the Gordons with heart attacks. And we're still dying. I'm the only Gordon, to my knowledge, that's lived to be 70 over the last 5 generations. I'm the only one. Now, if you change your eating habits, and this is one of the things that you'll find in this book, you change your eating habits at the same time you get on Laetrile. Because if you don't, you don't need Laetrile. The cancer is going to keep coming back. Whatever it is that causes scurvy, the lack of vitamin C, if you keep eating a vitamin C deficient diet, after we cure your scurvy, you will come back with scurvy again. Sailors, they discovered in the British Navy, got scurvy because they'd go to sea and they didn't have vitamin C. So they called them limeys because they found out that if you feed these guys one lime every day, he wouldn't get scurvy. So every day, the captain would line up his crew and give them one lime and say, go eat this. And you know, a lime is a terrible thing to eat. But after all, it does have vitamin C, and it'll prevent scurvy. Now, take the limes away. You know, say you got a sailor over here. He's eating limes every day. Now, take the vitamin C away from the guy. And sure enough, he will develop scurvy. All right, now let's do this with B17. Boys and girls, you come down with cancer. It's because you got a B17 deficiency. Now, let's give you B17. Okay, the cancer will go away. Now, let's take the B17 away from you again. The cancer will come back. Now, these families where this cancer is running in the family, they have a diet that is low in B17, whereas the Hunza people and the Hopi Indians and the Seventh-day Adventists, and remember these groups of people over here around the world that have high B17 diets, they don't get cancer at all. I mean, let's just grow up and be real. That's where reality is located. Now, people do not like to change their diets, and so if you're a pig-eating Christian, you're going to keep on eating pig. Until at some point in time, you are very highly motivated to stop. And as long as you eat pig, you're going to have a high incidence of cardiovascular disease. So I always tell my students, boys and girls, if you're going to eat fat, blood, and pig, and shellfish, you need health insurance. Hell, I'm not opposed to health insurance. People that are going to eat bad diets, they need health insurance because they're going to get sick. Yeah, I got to give you a reminder here. We're at the midway point here. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, it's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the webpage. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate, and that's because most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, or mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. And I might mention here, while we're talking about Dr. Richardson's book, you can get a copy of it from bravenewbookstore.com, bravenewbookstore.com, or Brave New Bookstore is located at 1904 Guadalupe Street, Suite B, Austin, Texas. The zip code down there is 78705, and that's 78705. The book is $16. That's the price tag I see here on the back of it. They sent me this book and said, "Mr. Gordon, would you review this book?" I read the book. I got another one up here by G. Edward Griffin. It's about Laetrile also. And it's called The World Without Cancer. I'll review that at some time in the future. G. Edward Griffin is also the guy that wrote the book on the Federal Reserve. And he's also mentioned in this book here. This is clear back in the 1970s. This book first came out in 1977. It's reissued in 2005. It's been updated. Now, we're reading the case history of a woman here who they opened her up, closed her back up, but she refused chemotherapy. She said, "No, I can't handle it." And she went the metabolic route. She went the natural route instead of the cut, burn, and poison. And she lived for 14 years. Now, both of these women, when they started out, they both had rectal cancer, colon cancer. Well, one of them was complicated by the fact that she had lung cancer. No indication that this woman has lung cancer, but she's got lung cancer. Both of them have this lung, have this cancer spreading through their body. Both of them had exploratory surgery. They cut them open, looked in, said, "Uh-oh, all done." Closed them back up, and that was the end of it. One of them went with chemotherapy and radiation. One of them didn't. One of them survived 14 years. The other one died in 2 years, which goes to show you what I told you yesterday and what this Dr. Richardson points out. And this is precisely the opposite from what the medical doctors tell you. They say, "You got to get to us early and don't mess around with these phony baloney quack theories of cancer therapy. Come to us right away." That way they can get started on cut, burn, and poison. But here's what happens when you take chemotherapy. It destroys your immune system. Radiation destroys your immune system. Surgery, if it doesn't get all of the cancer out, then spreads it throughout your body. Now, cut, burn, and poison does work. It works 37% of the time. The patients will live for 5 years. I don't recommend that as being the best out of 14 cancer cures. Surgery is one, radiation is two, and chemotherapy is three. That's three cures for cancer. Yes, it's true. Sometimes they can cut the tumor out, and you'll live for 6 or 7 years, and then die from cancer, which comes back again because, after all, you keep eating just like you always ate. You keep eating, and your body's just as deficient 5 or 6 years from now as it is today. All right. I don't think that a 5-year cancer longevity, I don't think 5 years is a cancer cure, but that's what they call it. Now, I can't tell you that 5 years isn't a cancer cure because the official definition comes right out of the dictionary here. When cancer, if you live 5 years after you've been treated for cancer, that's a cure. If you die in 5 years and one day, you've been cured, partner. All right, now this lady, prior to the patient's admission for surgery, she had multiple biopsies, which means, as you read the story here, there was absolutely no doubt that this woman had cancer. Because, see, a lot of times what they're claiming is, well, see, this woman didn't have cancer at all. Oh, no, there's no doubt about this woman having cancer. And Dr. Richardson did not discover this cancer. This woman came to him with her medical file in her hand and said, "Well, I'm from Dr. Jones down the street over here, and he's been working on me, and he says I've got inoperable colon cancer, and I heard about you, and I decided that I would come to you and try this B17 route, this amygdalin route." which is what this woman did. And when she did that, she lived 14 years. She died at age 79, which is darn good. Because, see, you're only entitled to 70 years to start with, biblically. And then, on average, here in the United States, we live to be 75. In Japan, you're living to be 80. And if you're a Hunza, I don't know what the average is, but many of those people live to be 100. They don't average 100, but they're long-lived people. And they have more people that live to be 100, you know, per 100,000 than do people in any other country in the world or close to it. All right, so this woman's case history is on page 153. Now, it goes on for several pages, and so I'm not going to sit here and bore you to death with all of these stories. But here's another story on cancer here. Now, remember, they've got cancer of the rectum, cancer of the head, cancer of the pancreas, cancer of... And so they have these various names and labels, and so Dr. Richardson has divided them up also. And so he'll take some cases of cancer of the prostate, cancer of the colon. And I just read you two colon cancer cases. But they've got digestive glands, inoperable cancer of the rectum with metastasis to the lung, a cancer of the breast. Let's take a look at a breast cancer patient, because you ladies out there are concerned about breast cancer. I'm going to start off with this breast cancer story. My wife, and I've been married to her now for 25 years, has had cancer for since 78, so it's 30 years this year. Now listen, every once in a while she will get a lump in her right breast. A lump. And I mean, it is a hard lump. And so when she gets that hard lump, she goes up and she starts a little therapy with barley green. It's called green drink. There's something in barley green. You can buy this stuff at the health food store. Barley green. Just ask for it by name. There's different companies, different people put it out, and they don't call it barley green. They have different names, but it's called green drink. And what it is, it's barley that grows up. And remember, this wheat, barley, it has high concentrations of B17. That's what this is. It's not magic. It's not religion. It's not faith healing. It's curing scurvy with vitamin C. It's curing cancer with vitamin B17. That's all it has to do with it. Well, anyway, this barley green drink has high concentrations of this B17 in it. And so she mixes up this barley green drink. And it is just god-awful. I mean, when you compare it to Coca-Cola, I mean, it is just terrible. Imagine, you know, if you were a little baby and they put you on barley green and that's all you ever had and nobody ever introduced you to Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola and 7-Up, you know, it might taste good to you. But, you know, I was a normal kid and I had a normal childhood with Coca-Cola, 7-Up, and Pepsi. And so I'm here to tell you, this barley green now, it tastes like, if I told you, they'd put me off the air. So, just take my word for it, it tastes real bad. But now she chokes it down. If it was me, I would put this barley green into capsules and wash it down with Coca-Cola. I think that you'd get it down better. And do you know that in 24 to 48 hours, the lump is gone from her breast? I mean, gone, G-O-N. And I felt it with my own fingers. Show you what a dirty old man I am. So I can tell you from first-hand experience, barley green will take the lump out. Does it cure the cancer? No, I'm sorry to report, it doesn't. Because she's had this recurring cancer now for 30 years. And that tells me a little piece to the puzzle over here. You see, what's happening is this. Once your body develops cancer, full-blown cancer, it sticks with you until you die. I mean, once you get cancer, boys and girls, you're going to have it. And you just make up your mind to it. Now, maybe, just maybe, your immune system can keep it in check for a number of years, but my wife's immune system is not powerful enough to keep it in check without barley green, without Laetrile, without heavy doses. Now, what happens is this. When the lump appears, we need heavy doses of Laetrile. That's why I asked you, said, do you know where we could get it? Because, you see, you can take Laetrile just like you can take caffeine. You can buy coffee that's decaffeinated. Well, all that means is that they took the caffeine out of the coffee and then they stuck it in no-dose so that they can sell no-dose over-the-counter as a drug, which has caffeine in. So you're a truck driver, and you need to stay awake, and so you're driving down the road, so you're drinking coffee, and you're sucking down no-dose so that you get wired up and you can't sleep, but so you can drive for 18 hours straight. So. All right, now there's ways to do that. So they can take the B17 out of the barley, out of the wheat, out of the peach pits, and they can put this into capsules, and you can just take the pills. Like the other day, I was taking a vitamin C and vitamin A and fish oil. I mean, you know, I sit down at the breakfast table, and I got my bottles up there, you know, and I suck down a little vitamin E, and I suck down a little fish oil, you know, maybe a little emulsified cod liver oil and stuff like that. Vitamin C, vitamin B this, and vitamin B that, and one thing another. And then, of course, I try to eat good foods, and I try to produce good foods and so on. But then, you know, but here's my wife now. She comes along, and she's like a weather barometer. And when that lump develops in her breast, she doesn't run out and get it cut off. That's what the medical doctors told her. You know, you need to come off. Instead, she takes B17, and the lump goes away. The cancer's still there. Deep down inside someplace. But my wife is a 30-year survivor. Now, she got cancer when she was in her 30s, 35 or so, and she's had it for 30 years. That's about right. She's about 65, round numbers. I won't tell you exactly, but in round numbers. And so she's a 30-year cancer survivor. Now, the thing that you're going to see, now, she got away from the surgery and the chemotherapy. And the surgery isn't so bad. If you cut it and it spreads through your body, the B17 will kill it wherever it's at. But the chemotherapy and the radiation kills or destroys your immune system. Now, the knife can do that too, because when they cut your breasts off, they cut your lymph nodes out too. Your lymph is part of your immune system. Tonsils, adenoids, appendix, lymph, those are thyroid, those are all part of your immune system. You need those. Don't cut them out. So if you're going to have this lump cut out of your breast, have them cut the lump out, but leave the rest of it. Then if it goes through your body, well, you can treat that later with B17. Now, of all the cancer cures over here, they actually revolve around B17. The wheatgrass, Ann Wigmore, she'd bring you into her clinic, and she'd feed you this wheatgrass day and night. You know, that's what she knew would cure cancer, wheatgrass. And I'm not sure that she knew why. Because she's just an old lady running a clinic up in New Hampshire or some Massachusetts or someplace. And so when people found out that this woman had a clinic and that she could cure cancer, and she'd bring you in there and she'd feed you good, and then she'd feed you this wheatgrass. Hell, you can get this wheatgrass now down at your local Wild Oats store, for crying out loud. I mean, walk in and just buy it. You can buy this barley green, by the way, across the counter. And that's the way we get our B17 here. My wife drinks this green barley drink. But if we could get it in the capsule, see, then, you know, you take a look at this green barley drink. You could take one pill, which might equal 10 glasses of barley green. So you can get a real shot. That's why these doctors that use Laetrile have been so successful. It's because they could give you massive doses of this vitamin, B17, rapidly, right now. Just like when you've got scurvy, we don't just sit there and start giving you limes. Hell, we're going to give you vitamin C in capsule form in big mega doses to knock this thing out right away. Why take a month to get your body back into operation when you can do it in 72 hours? That's the purpose for these drugs. That's the purpose, you know, for these vitamins and minerals. It's massive doses. So, again, if you know where we can get this, please let me know. All right, so with that in mind, let's go back over here to breast cancer. 2 out of every 3 patients with cancer of the breast who do not use Laetrile but choose instead to submit to orthodox therapies will be dead within 5 years. All right, now, ladies, now let's put this in perspective. You've got a lump in your breast. That doesn't mean that it's cancer, but it probably is. you know, just being intelligent. So you go to the doctor, and then the doctor takes a biopsy, which isn't good, remember. He already told you that's the way you spread it through your body. But hey, how are you going to find out if it's malignant or not? Well, I would say that if you've got a lump in your breast, why don't you just pretend that it's malignant? You know, my wife gets a lump in her breast. We don't know if it's malignant or not, but we treat it as if it is, and so immediately she goes to the Bartigreen can. And then the lump goes away. Well, the lump is just the symptom of the cancer. Hell, we know she's got cancer. She's had it for 30 years. We already know that. Now, the doctors would say, well, you survived for 5 years, so therefore you've been cured. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. Once you get cancer, kids, you're going to have it for the rest of your life, and it's going to be recurring. Lance Armstrong is going to come down with cancer again. It's in remission, and his body, his immune system's keeping it in remission. But he probably hasn't changed much in his lifestyle or his diet. Now, I don't know that that's true. I'm just, if he's average, you know, he probably hasn't. If, on the other hand, he's changed his lifestyle and his diet at the same time he went through the conventional medical therapies, you know, he might go through the rest of his life and never have it recur again. And that happens. That happens. So anyway, just remember that you're going to be dead in 5 years. Two out of three women with a lump in their breast will be dead in 5 years if you go the conventional route. If a cancerous lump is present for 1 month only, 50% of patients will have metastasis. The following case history should be read with this in mind. So this starts on page 129. Oh no, page number here. Let me write it on here. Page 129 starts cancer of the breast. So if you got this lump in your breast and it's been there for 30 days, it is spreading through your body. 50% of the time it's spreading through your body. Hey, that's not good. That's not good at all. But here's the good news. The good news is God has, this is the Creator. Now, I'm not talking about Zeus and Baal and the rest of these gods out here that everybody follows after. I'm talking about the Creator. You know, the guy that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the guy that created Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden and made everything. Okay, that's the guy we're talking about. And this guy made a cure for cancer at the same time he made cancer as a penalty for the violation of his law in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. This guy's no dummy. So if you find that you've got cancer, then the answer is you have broken the law. You can't get sick without breaking the law. So my wife, at age 35, was a criminal, breaking the biblical laws, the health laws. And so she got cancer. She woke up and said, oh my God, I've been breaking these laws. What do I have to do to get back in harmony with them? Well, you got to take a lot of Laetril, and you got to take a... And so she did that. So now she doesn't eat pig. She used to be a pig-eating Christian, and she stopped doing it. Now, she still got cancer. She'll die with it. We hope she doesn't die from it. We know she's going to die with it. So you can do the same thing. And case after case here in this book, lung cancer, almost 100% fatal. Breast cancer, 50% of the time it's going to metastasize and you're going to die from cancer somewhere else in your body. In July of 1974, this 50-year-old woman sought medical attention because of a lump in her left breast. Subsequent mammogram and needle biopsy were both negative. The mammogram report concluded, however, clinically palpable firm mass in the lower portion of the left breast, which radiographically presents as an ill-defined increase in density, not too unlike that of fibrocystic change. The clinical feel of the lesion, however, warrants biopsy. The patient decided to have the lump removed, but would not sign a surgery consent for removal of the whole breast in the event the lesion was cancer. Pathology report stated in part. Microscopic. Let me stop here for a minute. Now, my wife gets a lump in her breast, and it's about the size of a golf ball sometimes. I mean, that's big. Big. So, yeah, I could understand a woman wanting to have that excised by surgery, having it cut out. But, hey, lady, you can have the whole mass
taken care of with barley grain. Now think about how this nasty, bad-tasting barley grain versus surgery. And remember, when they cut it out, if they don't get it all now, it's going to spread through your body. So, in my view, the nasty, bad-tasting stuff, and I just tell you that because I don't want to lie to you, you can choke it down. I mean, I can get it down. You know, what I do is I pour it in a glass, and then I put a glass of milk next to it, and then I take a swig of this nasty taste and stuff and a swig of milk, and then I take a swig of this nasty taste and stuff and a swig of milk, and I can get it down. I mean, I can choke it down. My wife drinks it and tells me it tastes good, but, you know, she's something else. Now, microscopic, in some areas the tumor occurs as nests of cells which extend into the surrounding adipose tissue. The tumor extends to the margins of resection. Microscopic analysis. Anyway, they go through, to the surprise of her original physician, this patient's cancer has not reappeared, even though it is certain that malignant tissue remained after her excisional biopsy. She continues to lead an entirely normal life with no evidence of cancer. See the appendix for this patient's history after 1977. So let me see if I can do that. This is case number 110MX. Let me see if I can find 110MX. There's 110. Be patient with me. I'm old and slow. 110MX. Maybe I can't find it. Anyway, I read it a little earlier over here. This lady lived for years later. 112MJ. I'm looking for 110MX, probably on the page just prior to it. Let me see if I'm right. Guess I should have been better prepared here. Nope, I'm badly prepared and I can't give it to you. But anyway, this lady goes on and lives a happy, normal life. She's 50 now when she walks in. She's a 50-year-old woman. And she goes on, and they don't know whatever happened to her, but she went on after that, and she lived for another 20 years and or more, and then she dies. Now, this clinic now isn't keeping track. They're not running a cancer study. They're running a cancer clinic. This is a profit-making enterprise. So they don't know what happens. They don't follow up on these people, 20, 30 years later and say, well, she finally died from cancer, or she finally died of a heart attack, or she died from something else. Now, the reason I picked out that one on breast cancer is because, you know, you ladies out there are just really torn up over this breast cancer thing. I'm here to tell you, hey, listen, my wife has these lumps in her breast from time to time, maybe once a year. Sit back and relax. Barley grain, write it down. Barley green. Buy it in any health food store. And if they don't have that brand, barley green, well, then buy some other brand. There's other brands in there. Or you can grow it yourself. It's called wheatgrass. Just buy wheat and sprout it and then cut the tops off of it and run it through your juicer and you got the same stuff. It's called Laetril, vitamin B17. If any of you know where I can get this B17 now in capsule form or in some other form, call me and let me know, would you? Hey, I'm out of time, kids. We're going to have to leave it right there and remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience, and The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up. We've got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.